Hello and welcome to ReggieTate.com podcast number 14. Well, I can't guarantee this podcast will be an award winner, but I can promise you we won't be selling any products from a Slap Chopper Shake Weight infomercial. Have you seen the movie Deadpool yet? Well, if you haven't, you need to go see it. If you're a fan of the comic book movies and you're looking for something just a little different, something with plenty of adult humor and graphic violence and even a little bit of nudity, if you like, you know, Ryan Reynolds' butt, then this superhero is definitely for you, but don't take the kids. It's definitely one for the adults. On this podcast, my guest and I were going to be giving out our reviews and thoughts on the Deadpool movie, which has definitely become a very profitable and successful movie for Fox. And also, will Deadpool cause a shift in how future comic book movies are made in tone and ratings? We'll debate that one as well. Plus, have you heard what Warner Brothers and DC plan to do when Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice comes to Blu-ray later this year after its theatrical run? Well, if you haven't, you're going to want to hear this too. Is it a good move or bad move by Zack Snyder and Warner Brothers? Joining me today is my guest from the True Believers, who not only owns his very own Shake Weight, but uses it so much he even named it Eleanor.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
James, welcome.
Eleanor's got me in great shape, by the way. I got to say, this arm is, my right arm is just, the bicep is just huge.
How you been?
Oh, good, good. Me and Eleanor, no. Now I've been pretty good. I've got a little bit of a scratchy throat. I do apologize.
Well, I had a cold last week, so I hear you.
Yeah.
So have you seen that little movie called Deadpool?
No, I haven't. I've never seen it. No, I'm kidding. I saw it. It was really funny. It was one of the funnier movies I've seen in theaters in a while.
I loved how they did the opening of that movie.
Yes. You know,
the slow motion around the car thing.
Yeah.
And they
directed by some douchebag.
And the tool and all that. I thought that was great. It was funny. And there's even, if you pay attention, there's even a little picture of him, Ryan Reynolds, in a
Green Lantern
outfit.
Costume,
yeah. Yeah, that was that movie.
Well, and then there was also the, if you notice, there is a coffee cup where what the name R. Liefeld written on it. Rob Liefeld was the creator of Deadpool. Kind of the joke of,
they poke fun at everything, superhero movies
and all. Well, I gotta say, like, they were, you know, they gave him quite a bit of honor, obviously, because he created the character. But to be honest with you, Rob Liefeld is really becoming a joke of the comic book world.
Like, really?
Yeah. When he was, I don't want to get too off topic here, but, you know, when he was probably 19 when he started working at Marvel, maybe even younger, you know, he created characters like Deadpool and Cable, but he was kind of a rock star back then. Like, comic books were huge in the 90s. I know comic book movies are big now, but in the 90s, comic books were bigger than they ever were, and probably bigger than they will be even in today's world. As people got older and started looking back, they kind of realized he wasn't a very good artist. So, I don't have any animosity towards him. Like, he was 19 and drew some cool stuff, but, like, when you really look at him, it's like, and a lot of them have even become memes that they're so bad. Like, some of them, it's just like, why did you publish that? Like, no, that doesn't look good. But a little off topic, but I think it is really funny that, like, this might have given him a little boost in popularity back after this movie. But
yeah, Deadpool, its first weekend out, pulled in $132 million in its first 3 days.
I can't believe that. Like, honestly, I'm shocked.
And most people that I saw and read were saying, you know, if it pulls in 75 to 80 million, it'll be a good opening weekend for Deadpool.
Yeah.
And it completely surpassed that.
Yeah.
As of this recording, it's pulled in 246 million domestically. And it's not even 2 weeks old yet. So that's
just unbelievable.
It's a different type of comic book movie. They went for the hard R. They went for the crude humor, and it worked. But you can't say it would work for everybody else, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
They had a really good marketing.
Oh, genius.
Yeah.
I mean, they let Ryan Reynolds, I mean, I don't know whose idea behind all the Ryan Reynolds stuff that you saw on their commercials and all that, if that was him or if that was someone else, but some of the stuff they released was just funny.
Well, and even in the commercials, it's like, oh yeah, Ryan Reynolds is funny. Like, I forget, it's been so long, I forgot, you know. like he hasn't really been in a very funny or good movie in a long time, and it's like, oh yeah, I totally forgot he's funny. So
I mean, it's only like an hour and what, 46 minute movie or something.
That's
like
all
that
it needs to be.
It went by like it was like an hour movie, because it just was so good and so quick. It was fun.
Yeah,
I loved it. Oh, did you know the taxi driver in the movie?
Mm-mm.
Okay, the taxi driver that he's talking to in the movie, that guy's name, Dupinder.
Mm-hmm.
Reynolds intentionally named him after a really cool guy he knew in elementary school that had died.
Oh,
and
really?
So he named him after this guy he knew in elementary school as a kind of a as a tribute to the guy.
Wow. That's really neat.
So that was kind of cool. There's a lot of interesting facts for this movie that I kind of somewhat wrote down. Others I didn't. Do you know when Deadpool first appeared in the comics?
Would have been 89, I think. 90.
According to what I found online, it was in the New Mutants number 98. It came out in the February of 91 issue.
91. Okay, that's what I knew it was New Mutants, but I couldn't remember the exact date.
I didn't even know. I mean, Deadpool, I'm probably in the majority. I mean, I've heard of Deadpool before, but I really didn't know much about him.
Yeah, he has his fans. I'm definitely not one of them, but he does have his fans.
And from what I read, he kind of started out more as a supervillain, but over the years, he's evolved. So.
Well, and even that is like the way he started out. He was a total, and you know, not to knock Rob Liefeld even more, but he was a total ripoff of the Teen Titans from DC. Teen Titans' main villain was Deathstroke. Basically the same costume design and everything, except Deathstroke is blue and orange. And, like, so that's all he did was just totally rip him off.
Well, hasn't Marvel and DC kind of ripped each other off over the years,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, this one is, like, one of the most blatant. But, yeah, they do rip each other off all the time. But
Did you like the way they did the movie where they kind of started out in the middle of that fight scene and then it kind of flashed back to different things?
Yeah, what is that called? There's a literary term for it. I forget what it's called. But, yeah, I do like that.
I mean, or would you have rather seen it kind of start from the beginning and then work its way up? Or were you
No, the way they did it was just fine.
I thought it was great because you kind of got put right in the middle of the middle of the action and him sitting on the bridge there at one point, you know, that was kind of funny.
No.
The whole scene with the SUV in there, they basically recreated that whole thing because that's what they did in the video that they made to try to get the studios to, you know, make the movie. So basically recreated most of that scene that they'd done that was never supposed to be seen by the public but had gotten released on the internet.
Uh-huh.
They basically recreated it for the movie as well.
That's interesting.
I mean, that whole fight scene in that vehicle was great. The whole thing of twisting and turning and then, wait a minute, did I turn the oven off? And, you know, and the whole flashbacks of just pausing and then going to something else and then coming right back to, you know, even if it was 5 minutes later, was ingenious, really.
No.
I don't know if you could get away with that with, like, a Batman or Superman movie. I mean, now I know Man of Steel kind of did flashbacks, but not like...
And Batman Begins did it, too.
Is that something they're more going to instead of to keep you more entertained in the movie early on? You know, by putting you more into the character where they want it to be and then going back?
Well, I mean...
If you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, partly I think people are kind of getting tired of origin stories. And then partly Deadpool's, even in the movie, his origin story isn't really that interesting.
No.
So, like, you just start off with the excitement. Then once you got everyone's attention, then you tell the origin. It works that way, you know?
I found something that was interesting when Deadpool's cutting his hand off to get away from Colossus.
Yeah.
And he makes that statement, "Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret."
Yeah.
I found out that it was actually, it's a title of a coming-of-age book by Judy Blume.
Yeah, that's right.
And the central theme of the story is a teenage girl getting her first period.
Yeah,
right. Leave it to Deadpool to put... I read that and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Supposedly, Ryan Reynolds said in an interview, there's like over 100 different references to different things, joke-wise, to other movies, other comics, books. I mean,
yeah.
The whole X-Men thing was kind of funny when he goes to the mansion. Really? This whole big mansion, I only seen two of you. It's like Fox couldn't afford to buy any more.
I thought that was just ingenious. I will say my favorite thing in the whole movie was all the Hugh Jackman stuff.
Oh, yes.
And my favorite was when he pulls his mask off,
and
he's got a Hugh Jackman mask on underneath.
Yes. Great. Like,
that was as close to a Hugh Jackman cameo as we were going to get. Also, when he's, like, loading up, when he's packing all his arsenal into that backpack, and he throws in a magazine of Hugh Jackman's Sexiest Man Alive in there, too.
Yeah, I also like the line, you're right, cancer's only in my liver, lungs, prostate, and brains, all the things I can live without. I like it when he's talking to that one dude in the suit, you know, you're kind of like a bad infomercial, not so much slap chop, but more shake weight. Yeah. He does that little thing, yeah. Right? You know, that was funny too. Did you stay through the credits?
Of course, yeah. That was really funny.
Yeah, like kind of a Ferris Bueller thing.
Yeah.
So what would you give it grade-wise?
I'd probably give it a B+.
Okay, is there anything that you would have liked to see them do that they didn't do?
No, and I know you're going to call my bluff and say, why not give it an A then? But for me, it's a B+. Like, I thought it was really, really funny. I thought it was perfect for what it was. I don't know if it was necessarily the game changer that everyone says it is.
I would agree with that.
I think it has, I think it's just part of the gradual evolution of these movies rather than being a game changer. Some movies are not part of the gradual evolution, but this one definitely is.
Okay, just to be a double advocate here, if they would have edited it down to be more of a PG-13 movie.
Oh, terrible. It would not have worked.
It wouldn't have worked?
No.
I don't think it would have worked either.
No. And making it an R-rated movie was the right thing to do.
And they
now, if you're taking your kids to this movie, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
like, you're either an idiot or like maybe you're already pretty lax with what your kids see. I guess.
Well, I guess that depends on the age of the kid, the kid's maturity. Yeah. I mean, okay, anyone 16 and older, you might be able should be all right with it.
Oh, sure.
But if you're anywhere between definitely 10 to 14. I would give it a hard thinking about before
I
do it.
You know, it's funny I say that. I mean, when I was a kid, I'd sneak over to my friend's house, and we'd watch R-rated movies all the time. I think my friend was more mature about the movies. Like, I think it's one of those things, if you let your kids watch R-rated movies all the time, it's one thing. Mm-hmm. But if you go into it thinking of, I don't know. I don't have kids. Who am I to judge anyone?
Yeah. I mean, it's tapped to individual parenting style, but yeah.
I would say, like, I don't think I'd take them to the theater to see it.
No.
I mean, I'd probably watch it at home with them. But
right. If you take them to
I'm
the theater.
I'm sure a lot of those jokes would go straight over their heads. Anyway. But then again, like.
Nowadays,
they
kids
might
are
be
so.
Quoting it. I know.
Nowadays, kids are so no more than you really think they would know that it's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I mean, I'm sure I probably knew things my parents were surprised at.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure I'd be surprised if I had kids about what they would know or don't know, especially with the internet nowadays. I mean, it's just hard to keep them away from any of that stuff. This movie only cost the studio $58 million to
make. It wasn't a big budget movie. I will say one great special effect they did. They finally got this. And this has always been kind of a problem, is the mask. First off, white eyes,
mm-hmm.
instead of, like, Spider-Man, none of the Spider-Man movies did that. They're always some weird, like,
almost off-white to almost gray.
Yeah, or weren't they yellow on, like, the Amazing Spider-Man, or?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they're always kind of an off-white to gray, never a pure white,
yeah.
but never yellow.
And they did something amazing here. In comic books, whenever a character, because they're cartoons, whenever a character wears a mask, they can be expressive even with the mask on. Like, you can see, like, their mm-hmm. eyes get bigger, and you can see, like, almost like an eyebrow, like, raised above. You know, stuff that doesn't happen in real life. Well, in the movie, they used a lot of CGI to get that mask. The mask was pretty much animated, and I thought that was great because that's something that they always had trouble with in the Spider-Man movies. And, you know, when you look at it, like, the Iron Man movies, they started using CGI costumes, so, like, why not go the next step, you know?
Uh-huh.
Granted, with Iron Man, you're not going to have him moving his stuff, but, like, for Deadpool or maybe the next Spider-Man, we could start seeing them emote a lot better.
Yeah. I read that the Deadpool suit was originally built like most superhero costumes to make Reynolds look like he had, you know, a pretty good physique. But when they had him try it on, because he'd already kind of got himself in pretty good physical shape anyway, the suit was too tight. So they took all the muscular stuff out of the suit because he couldn't really move too well in it. So he was bulked up enough that they didn't need to put that stuff that you normally would get in there, you know, to make a guy look like he's in really great physical shape, because he was already in great physical shape.
Yeah, they did a really good job with the costume. They did a really good job. I'm a little on the fence about Colossus, to be honest with you.
Now, I'm not that familiar with Colossus. was his representation okay? Or
yeah, it was.
I mean, as far as physical look?
Oh, it was great. You know, we've already seen Colossus, even as a cameo on the older X-Men movies. And now he's, like, way different. But I guess there was, like, a time slip. And I guess also it's Deadpool, and it doesn't make sense anyway. So I thought they did a good job. You can tell, like, the animation for Colossus was not up to where the animation for, like, the Hulk is on the Avengers. But they did a good job. That would be my only thing that I'm a little on the fence over. I'm glad that they made him Russian. In the old X-Men movies, he barely had speaking lines. That's always been a weird thing about the X-Men movies, is there's usually characters that barely talk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Bryan Singer's deal is with that. And I love Bryan Singer, but, like, sometimes he has characters in just don't speak. And usually it's the bad guys, but Colossus was like that too. And that's always been really weird. But, whatever.
So did you notice, and we talked slightly before we started our podcast, but did you notice that Vanessa was also in Firefly?
No, I didn't know that until, like, later. I did not recognize, and of course, as soon as I looked up, what's her name, Monica?
Barca, B-A-C-C-A-R-I-N, how do you pronounce her last name?
As soon as I looked her up and I saw a picture of her with longer hair, I was like, oh, man, I just did not recognize her at all in this movie.
Uh-huh.
She was the, it's been a while since I've watched Firefly. I don't remember the names of all the characters, but she was the whore, basically. I forget, like, there was a...
Oh, there's your character name.
Oh, Vanessa, thank you. But she was, or not Vanessa.
Yeah, the one in blue there. How do you pronounce that?
Inara. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so she was Inara.
Now the guy playing Weasel was TJ Miller. It seems like I'd seen him somewhere before.
Me too.
But I can't place where I've seen him, and I didn't really look him up on IMDb. So.
Well, we've got the Googles in front of us. Let's look him up. TJ Miller. He did look familiar.
And I just can't place where he was. Oh, and you were talking about the references to Wolverine and Hugh Jackman. You're probably thinking, whose balls did I have to fondle to get my very own movie? I can tell you this. His name rhymes with
line.
Pulverine.
Pulverine. That's so funny.
And then in an Australian accent, he goes, and let me tell you, he's got a nice pair of smooth criminals down under.
That's really funny.
Who was that lady playing the blind lady as well? She looked familiar.
Boy, I don't know. Hold on.
I mean,
so TJ Miller, okay. He was in a lot of animated stuff. Like, he did Big Hero 6. He was also in a movie called Silicon Valley, How to Train Your Dragon.
So he's done, like, a lot more voiceover work then.
Yeah, but, like, every time he does it, like, now that I know that, I do remember seeing him on Conan and stuff. Like, you know, as soon as they've got a movie coming out, you see them all over on talk
about
shows.
It.
So, that is where I recognize him. What was that other blind lady?
I don't remember her name. She just looked familiar.
Oh, one of my favorite lines on that was when he was like, she's sort of like my Robin, if Robin were black and a girl and blind and in love with me. And then he's like, well, Robin might be in love with Batman, but I do love that. And I love how, like, I've kind of complained a little bit that, like, the world has gotten, like, weirdly PC. Like, nothing wrong with PC, but they've gotten to a point where it's like, the world has gotten
too
much.
PC.
I think the world needed a movie like this, because as soon as he says that, then it shows her tripping over her room, which is, like, the meanest blind joke ever, but it's so funny.
And, of course, I also love when Deadpool's talking to Colossus. If I ever decide to become a crime-fighting shit swizzler who rooms with a bunch of other little whiners at Neverland Mansion with some creepy old bald Heaven's Gate looking motherfucker, on the day I'll send your shiny happy ass a friend request. I want to know who came up with all these lines. I mean, if that came out Reynolds or his writing partner, because they were on their game.
I think it's funny that, like, this is definitely part of the X-Men universe, and really the X-Men universe makes
No sense.
No
sense.
At least four. Like starting with like number three already. Like if you go way back, starting with X-Men 3, they've already like become inconsistent within themselves, and each movie just becomes more and more inconsistent. Even to the point where they're like, okay, we're gonna go back in time and refresh everything and start it new. That way we can be consistent. But already there's like inconsistency. It's like, well, how old is Colossus? And like, okay, so they're going back in time. Like if you look at Apocalypse, our Angel is going to be in the movie, and of course, if you know anything about Apocalypse, Angel's very important character to Apocalypse.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully Bryan Singer won't just make him a silent character like he tends to do.
A silent partner, but, so to speak.
But if you look back at X-Men 3, I know this is a different timeline, but it still doesn't make any sense. If you look back at X-Men 3, Angel was like maybe 22 when that movie came out, so and Jean Grey would have been 30, whereas in this movie now Angel's older than Jean Grey, and it's like okay, but then you're like, well, okay, well maybe like after the time shift, it's like, no, the time shift happened in the 70s, like that wouldn't have changed when they were born. But like it didn't happen that far back.
But how much of the average fan would really
I'm just saying, like even after they reboot it, there's still inconsistencies.
And Deadpool, from what I took of it, they poked fun not only at the X-Men universe, they poked fun at the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
I mean, it pretty much, if it was a superhero character or not, I mean, you were fair game. And I think that's what made the movie fun.
I thought it was interesting that they used Colossus, because he's one of the big X-Men, and he was in the old ones, even though he never had a speaking part. I'm surprised that they didn't go with like a more minor character.
Now, I did,
but at the same time, it's like, well, it does kind of make sense.
Now, I did read where they did have a scene or two written for a Hugh Jackman appearance as Wolverine, but when it came time down the shooting, they decided to cut those out. They didn't even talk to Hugh Jackman about it. So
it worked out better with it. It worked out funnier with that.
I think it is. Like, I mean, if you really want to have Wolverine,
it feels like it's too cheap to even afford. Even though that's not the case, but the idea that it's too cheap and crappy to afford Wolverine is pretty funny.
And I think it's really better the way that, as you said, the way they did it. I mean, if you want to have Hugh Jackman making a cameo as Wolverine, let it be in the second movie, not necessarily the first movie. Let the first movie stand on its own, you know, because to me, if you do a Wolverine in the first one, or even if you'd have done, let's say, a Professor X or whatever the case, it would have felt like, okay, we're just trying to...
What's weird about this all is, okay, so the next Wolverine movie is supposed to be the final Wolverine movie.
And rumors
which makes it sound like Apocalypse is going to be the final X-Men movie. So they're going to keep dragging Deadpool on?
I think they're trying to set themselves up for the future. I don't know if it'll be the final X-Men movie because of... assuming Apocalypse does as well or better than what the previous movies have done, Fox ain't going to let it sit there and just not do anything with it. I think they're trying to set themselves up for the future. Now, what kind of future that is,
you know,
I think they're going to wait till after the third Wolverine movie.
They'll probably I wonder if they might just start focusing on Deadpool. Well, here's the thing. Before I go too far into that, there is one note of caution that we should all be aware of. Deadpool is a comedy. It's not like, I mean, yeah, it's action and all this, but first and foremost, it's a comedy. How many comedy sequels can you think of that are any good?
Not too many.
Yeah. So, like, hopefully this one will... Hopefully the fact that it's also a superhero sequel, which are good.
Right.
Hopefully that'll balance it out.
I didn't really necessarily look at Deadpool as a comedy.
Yeah.
I looked at it first as a superhero movie.
Really?
That had the comedy with it.
Okay.
So, to me, that's the way I looked at it, even watching the movie. So, if they stick to that scenario with the second one, you know, where they make it a superhero movie first... Put the comedy in where it works and not try and force the comedy, then I think they'll be all right.
That's interesting. That's actually really interesting because we're flipped on that one. Like, I think of it as a comedy with superhero crap in it.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's really interesting. Of course, it's still a superhero movie, but...
Right. There's some other podcasts and stuff that I listen to and watch, and they were talking about, you know, can Deadpool be pulled into the X-Men universe as part of a larger group movie? Some of the other people's opinions are Deadpool on its own can work and will work as a rated R movie, and it's easier to have Deadpool as a rated R movie by itself and then tone him down, let's say, if you did have him make a small appearance in, say, an X-Men movie, to where tone his humor down more to a PG-13, where as a group where he's not necessarily the main focus, where you could tone him down a little bit and it would still work. But on its own, you know, you're still going to get what you just saw in this movie.
Yeah.
And I think in that sense, they're right. I almost would agree with that, with what they were talking about. Yeah. You know, it's easy to pull him down when he's not necessarily the focus. He's more of a smaller cog in a bigger picture, you know, than trying to make him a PG-13 by himself and then make him something he's not, in a, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
At least Fox didn't screw it up. They let them make their movie. They didn't really, I don't think, interfered with it, and it worked.
Yeah.
So hopefully kind of helps make up for whatever it is they lost big time on Fantastic Four.
You know, what's crazy is I think this movie sold better than any other X-Men movie, and this isn't even an X-Men movie.
I think I did hear where this is technically the most successful X-Men movie out there, if you want to consider it part of the X-Men universe.
That is crazy.
And it's an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
That's which doesn't make sense either.
Crazy.
You wouldn't think that would be the case.
Yeah.
You think because it was rated R, people were drawn to it, or because of the promotional campaign that worked so well that drew people in?
I think mostly the promotional campaign, but also the rated R, I think, might have
had people's curiosity.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I would have seen this movie regardless. This is a weird world we're living in, where Mad Max might be nominated for Best Picture.
I think it is nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, but
I don't think it'll win, though. Okay, if it is nominated for Best Picture.
Keep in mind, 2008, a lot of people were mad that The Dark Knight was not even nominated. And now we're living in a world where Mad Max, which was a great movie, but nominated, like the world is definitely changing.
Well, I hope the changes with what the Academy is making because of their issues that they have, which I don't really want to get into on this podcast. But I'm of the opinion, if there's a good movie that's deserving of Best Picture, whether it be your typical drama that you see normally get nominated by the Oscars, mm-hmm. or if it's a superhero movie, mm-hmm. or if it's a sci-fi movie like Star Wars or Star Trek, that type of thing, if it's good enough to be considered or talked about as a Best Picture nominee or even possibly winning it, then to me, they should nominate it. Same way it goes with the animated movies.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, fine, you got your own section for the animated, for Best Animated, but I don't see why a movie, let's say like Toy Story 3, for example. I'll just use that for an example.
That one was nominated for Best Picture.
But what I was getting at is, if something like that can be good enough to be nominated for Best Animated, and it's good enough to where I don't see why you can't have a movie like that win both Best Animated and Best Picture.
Okay, yeah.
I've always thought, why not have Best Sci-Fi or Best, you know, action type movie? Because you don't see a lot of the action movies get nominated in the Oscars other than special effects or sound, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know how the Oscar board is all made up, but to me, from what I see from my point of view, is it's a bunch of old cronies in a certain sense, and they have their type mm-hmm. of movies they like, and unless it's a certain type yeah. of movie, you can forget about ever winning yeah. Best Picture.
Well, you know, now that Mad Max is nominated, there was a time where, like, after The Dark Knight, I just figured there will never be a superhero movie nominated for Best Picture. After Mad Max, which Mad Max is pretty, technically it's not superhero, but uh-huh. it's pretty close. Like, after this one, there could be. Granted, though, I don't know if there will ever be a superhero movie better than The Dark Knight.
There could be. Never say never, but
it's going to be down the road.
You know,
it's hard to know how long this superhero fad is going to last.
It depends. I mean, if they kind of evolve with the times and adjust to the liking of the people who are going to see them, they could still be gone 10 years from now.
No.
I mean, who knows? They could all of a sudden hit a roadblock and three or four in a row just bomb, and all of a sudden it's going to be done in 2 years.
No.
But I don't see that happening. Not with what I keep hearing, what's coming down the road, and the way they seem to be taking it really seriously and seem to be putting a lot of time and effort into these movies and not just, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, here you go. Just go make it and don't give a crap. These studios are pretty much looking at these movies as their big cash grabs,
yeah.
which is helping them finance their other movies that help absorb any losses they may take on those other movies. So I guess that all depends on how the studios is looking at them. Do you hope they add Cable to the Deadpool?
Sure, why not? I mean, let's make it a Rob Liefeld love fest at this point. Yeah, that'd be fine. Totally honest with you, I've never been a fan of either character.
Uh-huh.
I've always kind of liked Deadpool. I've always thought the idea of him was kind of funny. I've never been really like a fan.
Now, can you have a character, let's say, like Deadpool, that you don't necessarily care for in the comics, but yet enjoy what they do on the movies?
Sure, yeah, and just like what happened here.
Okay.
And I want to reiterate, it's not that I don't like Deadpool in the comics. It's just that I've never really read much of him.
It's just an odd character.
Yeah. Yeah, it always seemed like it's like a cool idea, but it was always like, I don't know if I really want to read all this, you know, like it's just a little odd. But, you know, you had Cable in, and Cable's like super macho serious. It would be like sort of like Colossus, but to an nth degree. And so like Deadpool and Cable would be like total freaking opposites of each other. And that could actually be a good movie. Actually, that could be a good movie right there.
Now,
having like this odd couple. Like,
now, very brief, and I don't want to get into it too much, but exactly what is the character of Cable?
Oh, gosh. Cable is the son of Cyclops and the clone of Jean Grey. Cyclops and the clone of Jean Grey, whose name was Madeline Pryor, who originally was not a clone, originally was just written to be Cyclops' wife after Jean Grey died at the end of the Phoenix Saga. But because here's the deal with comics, they're stupid. Okay.
Why they're comics.
And,
I mean,
and part of the problem is like whenever somebody writes a good story and ends it, all of a sudden some executive is like, hey, bring that back. We want to make more toys.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So then they had to bring back Jean Grey back to life. Well, boy, we can't have Cyclops not be married to Jean Grey. So let's make Madeline Pryor Jean Grey's clone who goes crazy, and then she takes the sun. So now all of a sudden she has powers, and they call her the Goblin Queen. And it's so freaking stupid. I just like... And I think this is part of the reason why people don't like Cyclops anymore after the 80s. Because Cyclops used to be really, really popular. Like, whether they know it or not, like, I think part of the reason why it started with this, and then the writers just couldn't, like, figure out a way to redeem Cyclops, so they just made him boring. But, so, like, Cyclops leaves his wife, Madeline Pryor, who's actually Jean Grey's clone, for Jean Grey, who comes back from the dead. Madeline Pryor turns into the Goblin Queen and sends their baby into the year 3999 AD in the future, where he grows up to become Cable, comes back to the present day, and shoots a bunch of stuff. I don't know. It makes no sense. And I think I might be getting some of this wrong. Like, I just try to just, like, avoid all this. But yeah, when Cable was originally created by Rob Liefeld, he was not Cyclops' son. That storyline was Nathan Grey or Nathan Summers. I forget.
Like all comic book characters, it kind of evolved and changed.
Yeah,
at different,
yeah.
When
he first joined, he was just like the ultimate manliest mutant and Rob Liefeld could come up with. And
well, if you haven't seen Deadpool and you want to go see it, leave the kids at home if you got them, especially if they're
Are we going to talk about Superman or
something? we're getting there, but if you haven't seen Deadpool, go see it. It's well worth the $10 and your time. Just leave the kids at home. If you've got a wife and she's cool about it, go take her with you. Just take her out to dinner before or afterwards to appease her if she's not big into the comic book movies. Speaking of comic book movies, did you see what recently came out in the news or released? It wasn't necessarily released by Warner Brothers, but it was discovered by...
Leaked,
and I don't know, whatever, but according to the Motion Pictures Association Ratings Board and the Film Ratings, it was discovered that Warner Brothers and Zack Snyder had put in for a... because of different content, the movie itself hitting theaters is going to be PG-13, which we all know. There's also, I guess, going to be Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition when it comes out to Blu-ray and DVD at some point after its theatrical run for an R-rated version. My guess is it probably won't say R on the DVD. It'll be one of those unrated. Obviously, this movie, according to what I've read, was pretty much done and in the can September, October when it got its PG-13. So my guess is they've also kind of had that. You think they released this information or let it be released because of the success of Deadpool?
Or
just to be who we are and like to, you know, how we like to do this. They're not sure how the movie's really going to play it in theaters. So do maybe give the fans something to talk about and try and drive them to the theaters. They hope that people at least go watch the home when it comes out on Blu-ray because there's a different version of it.
Maybe a little bit of both. But I mean, come on. Like, the timing of this, like, this leak. Oh, like, ooh, there's going to be an R-rated version of the next Superman movie on Blu-ray. Like, right after the first R-rated superhero movie, does way better than anyone would have ever guessed, like, including the people who made it.
Right.
This was definitely... There's something I've noticed about... I'd hate to be cynical about this, but there is something that I've noticed with...
Zack Snyder or Warner Brothers?
Well, this whole Warner Brothers thing in general. Ever since Man of Steel, they've really, and ever since Avengers have really taken off, they've come off as very desperate to be just like Marvel. And I know Deadpool's Fox, but
right,
there does seem to be like
a slight desperation.
Yes, like even the fact that Batman versus Superman, they're gonna cram in. Okay, Wonder Woman, I can kind of get putting her in as a cameo, but Aquaman's also gonna be in it.
Well, there's supposed to be cameos by Aquaman and the Flash to set up the Justice League, and I don't see where you need to have those two in there.
No, you don't even really need Wonder Woman.
Okay, if you want to put those two in there, make it a post-credit scene, like Marvel has done to set up other things. I mean, that would be understandable, but I don't see how they're going to cram. And now they have released the running time for that movie of 2 hours and 31 minutes, which really, if you think about it, 10 minutes of that's probably really credit. So it's really about 2 hours and 21 minutes of actual movie. The running time, I have no problems with. I mean, I don't care. I mean, they could have come out and said it was a 3 hour movie. And if it's good enough and it holds your attention, a 3 hour movie can go by like 2 hours and you never know it. I mean, if you got good material. I just don't know if you... I just find the timing of this being released a little odd and possibly even suspicious.
Oh, yeah.
Because I look at it in two ways. Either they're doing it because of the success of Deadpool, or they're not so sure how the audience is going to take what they're releasing to the theater, and therefore they're trying to make sure people go to the theater to see it.
No.
Because to me, if you're going to release an, quote, unrated or R version of the movie on home video, why not wait to put that out until after the movie's been in theater for a month or so?
Right.
And then you say, oh, by the way, here, we're releasing it in July, and we're just going to have a director's cut or whatever you want to call it, however you want to package it, of stuff that we didn't put in the theaters. That I would understand at that point, because a lot of some people do it, some people don't, and that's cool.
I want to make 2 points here. First off, I do want to go back and edit some things that we've said. We keep referring to Deadpool as the first R-rated superhero movie. It's maybe as far as mainstream superhero movie. I totally forgot about Watchmen. That one was R-rated.
Right.
And I think there were some others. None of the ones that were R-rated before were traditional superhero movies. They were more like artistic.
Well, like
integrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think this is Deadpool was more of the mainstream what people would consider a superhero R-rated movie.
So that's what I think we better be cautious in saying that it's the first mainstream R-rated movie. And that is a fact. Like, I mean, I do forget to call Watchmen a superhero movie because it feels like something totally different.
Well, Watchmen, I mean, unless you're really big into the comics, you probably wouldn't really know that was based off of... I mean, because I didn't even know The Watchmen was based off of a comic until after the fact.
Yeah, graphic novel. It's really good. Did you ever read it afterwards?
No, I didn't have
that. Oh, I'll let you borrow it. It's really good.
Now, that was also done by Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder, yeah.
Now, I read that...
Now, I'm also going to say... Zack Snyder followed that movie to a T. However,
well, I also
however
read,
the stuff that he changed sucked. like you're gonna think this is nitpicking, but at the end of The Watchmen in the book, there's all these after Ozymandias he blew up New York a little differently too. I'm not gonna give it away since you haven't read the book, but like after New York basically blows up and everyone rebuilds and they're living in this Ozymandias utopia, they see, you know, Nixon is resigning as president, and there's all these RR for president everywhere. RR. And of course, your initial thought is Ronald Reagan. So then,
yeah, but I think you told me this once before.
Yeah. The editor is like, as if anyone's ever going to elect that Hollywood cowboy,
Robert Redford.
Yeah. And, which is so funny. And then in the movie, I'm like, yes, say it, say it. And then he says Ronald Reagan. And I'm like, how did you blow that joke?
Yeah.
Like, did you think that you would confuse everyone by it? The movie doesn't make any damn sense anyway. Like, just go for it.
I think if comic book movies are not, and Marvel's not followed the comics very well either.
No,
but if what they put on the movie theater is good and it works, most fans won't really care if it doesn't follow the comics to a T.
Like, why would you ruin the joke, though?
Right.
Like, in the comic book, that was so hilarious. Like, that's a really funny joke. But in the movie, it's like Ronald Reagan, like, Ronald Reagan really was president. Like, that's not funny. Like, you know, like what are you doing? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
And the other point that I was going to bring up is that I will say this last trailer that's come out has finally gotten me excited for this movie.
That's what I've heard about a lot of people
this whole
have said.
Time, and this last trailer looks like the whole time I'm like, it looks okay. This last trailer looks very good.
Well, I always thought the trailer before that, which was I think the longest of the trailers they put out, was like 3 minutes. They didn't need to put in the reveal of Doomsday.
No.
Because to me, you could have shown General Zod's body being unzipped.
Yeah.
But you didn't necessarily need to see Doomsday.
Yeah.
You could have been like, okay, why is Zod in this? Why? Most fans may have come up to the same conclusion, but if someone who wasn't familiar with it, you didn't need to put in that reveal in the trailer.
I mean, Doomsday didn't come from Zod in the comics, so that would have been a perfect surprise.
Right.
I don't know why they did that.
Because I think everyone's more focused on those two titans going after each other, and you are getting a different version of Batman, which I'm excited to see.
I am too now. You know, I think Ben Affleck's going to be really good. And Henry, like before I know Man of Steel wasn't, I like the movie. I know it sounds like I hate it, but I do actually like the movie. It's not the one that I would have gone for, and I think they got some stuff wrong. Henry Cavill is so good. He's really good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's really up there with Christopher Reeve in his own right.
I'm going to go out on a small prediction here as the reason why they got they're going for an R-rated.
Sure.
Which with Superman, you can't really hurt him too much, and Batman's too well. The only thing I can think of that they've put in that movie that could get them an, quote, R rating, so to speak, if they would do so, is at one point it was known that Ben Affleck was on the set of Suicide Squad to film some stuff for that as a small cameo in that movie, which was fine.
Yeah.
There was also rumors at the same time that Jared Leto was filmed something for supposed to be in Batman vs. Superman, but no one ever got that confirmed, and the studios weren't going to let that be known if that was the case.
Yeah.
And, of course, in the trailer, you've got that suit of Robin with what the Joker's written on there holding the crowbar. What if they're holding back for the Blu-ray?
Oh, that would be neat.
They do a flashback of Leto as the Joker killing the Robin.
Yeah.
And in order to just kind of do it right, they didn't just do it half-assed. They actually went kind of brutal on it.
Yeah, that would be neat.
I wonder if that's what they've done. If that's the case, I'm cool to see, kind of see what that is.
Yeah.
To me, knowing what the runtime is for the theatrical version and the runtime on the unrated or R version on Blu-ray is only 5-6 minutes longer, there can't be that much in there that they've cut out that would cause to get an R rating.
That's interesting.
That's kind of my deduction.
I'm
not going to say I'm right. I mean, I knew I was kind of somewhat right, possibly with my Star Wars thing with Harrison Ford. That, to me, it was a little easier to predict.
I was with you on that one, yeah.
But that one's a little easier to predict in my book. This one's probably a little bit difficult. So I may be more on your track of what you had for Thor and this, but that's kind of what I'm going to go with.
Yeah.
Because that would make sense. I mean, because you had Ben Affleck on set of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Leto's already there. They did most of that in sound stages anyway. If you're going to do something like that, why not?
Yeah, do a flashback. Yeah, that'd be great.
And I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you could even possibly set yourself up later for even with Leto possibly showing up in a Batman movie, which is fine. But I just wonder if that's what they've done.
I don't know.
Because I can't think of anything else that they could do that would get you an R rating. You're not going to get any blood and guts out of Superman or Batman. And
unless they just add more cuss words. And
well, cuss words. Or
maybe you see a Wonder Woman titty.
Or possibly showing Batman being a vigilante and being a little bit more brutal with it.
Maybe you see.
Possibly.
See full frontal nudity of Superman or Lex Luthor.
I don't know what the case may be.
Probably neither of those things.
I don't know, but I just kind of curious as what they could possibly have done. And to me,
I think you're on the right track.
To me, that's the only logical conclusion I could come up with.
I think you're right. We'll see.
And I think that
it's only a few months away. Not even that.
March 25th is when it hits theaters. But you're going to probably think in July or August for that thing ever comes out to home video. So for that.
Do you remember, like, I was talking to my friend about this, and, like, used to be, like, Star Wars, I've only seen in theaters twice. I want to see it one more time in theaters.
You know, that movie is still, like, finished 7th in the box office.
Yeah, it's going to be in there for a while.
I'm going to guess you're not going to see that on home video release till at least late summer at the earliest.
There was a time when I would see, like, a movie like that 6 times in theater easily. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, a part of it is because I'm older and don't want to spend all of that time and, movie, like, also, like, sitting there.
Tickets has also gotten more expensive.
They're more expensive.
So it's harder to go see it multiple times.
And also, like, there's a new big movie like this every month now. I mean, this is February and we're watching...
February, Deadpool. March, Batman versus Superman.
Before that, December.
Late April, you get Civil War.
Yeah.
May, you get, well, also in April, you also get Jungle Book, if you're interested
in
that.
Before that, December was Star Wars. November was Spectre. Is there anything in October?
I don't remember. But even just moving forward in 2016, yeah. I mean, almost every month, you're getting some huge blockbuster movie that you normally get a couple of them during the summer, and that would be it. Now,
I kind of miss that in a way, because, like, that... Now it's like you got to rush out to see the next movie and just to keep on top of everything.
Now talking about with them releasing an R-rated Batman for home video and stuff, there's rumors that the third Wolverine movie
will be rated R.
Might be rated R because there's rumors they're going to go with the old man Logan storyline, which is fine.
Oh, really? That would be interesting. I think I've
heard that. I read somewhere where they actually kind of filmed the second Wolverine movie kind of as a hard R, but they saved that for the unrated version, you know, director's cut, and just put the PG-13. My guess is that's what they're going to do with the third Wolverine. They'll put it out PG-13 and save a director's cut for the home video.
I don't know. I think they're going to go ahead and do, since Deadpool did okay, I think they're going to go ahead and do.
See, I just don't know if, and I know studios are going to be looking at this hard and heavy now. I just don't see a need for all of a sudden all these studios to.
I don't either.
If the storyline dictates in order to do a good movie, to tell the good story, means you have to go R, is one thing.
Yeah.
Do a rated R movie just because you can for a comic book movie, to me, is unnecessary and not needed.
Well, and that's my concern with DC. My concern with DC is both in the comics in the past couple of years and with these new movies, they have gotten unbelievably dark and gruesome. Reading the comics, like, the comics are freaking gruesome.
It's almost like DC has seen what Marvel's done, and they're kind of family-friendly, even though most of those have been PG-13. But they haven't, even PG-13, they're more because of the superhero violence, not because of cussing or nudity or blood and guts. But you almost, like, DC's like, okay, well, you got the Marvel/Disney version of superhero movies, so we're going to give you the complete opposite, and we're just going to go hardcore on you to a certain extent.
And I don't think it's necessary at all.
I don't think it's necessary.
And the comics definitely prove it. I don't think DC Comics are doing as well as Marvel's.
And really, if you think about
there's nothing wrong. Let me reiterate. I'm not a prude. There's nothing wrong with sex, violence, but, like, DC Comics have gone overboard with the violence to the point where it's like, who is this for? Like,
the,
like,
kids, I mean, or know, the adults?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like, these are supposed to be for kids.
Right.
They're supposed to be for kids. Adults can read them too. It's okay to have a little bit of violence. My friend was telling me one thing with Harley Quinn. There's a cover of her smashing Batman's hand with a mallet, and he's like, what is this? Like, that's gross. Like, like, what is that? And I was like, yeah, I know. Like, I read some of the villains' months. Some of them were good. Most of them weren't. Like, Harley Quinn's, again, was, like, insane. It's like, who is this for?
Now, of all the DC movies that we know that are supposed to be coming out and being made, the Batman vs. Superman, the Justice League movies, the Wonder Woman, Flash, Aquaman, if there was one that was going to be an R movie that I would be okay with, it would be more Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's the one that I would expect maybe to be
Batman
possibly R,
Superman,
but not Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, no. So we'll see what happens. But I don't know. Maybe we're just a couple of fuddy-duddies. But I think it's...
I'm not opposed to seeing an R-rated Batman versus Superman. but is it necessary?
No, yeah, exactly. It's not. It's like, you know, this is a story about a guy who wears a cape, right? I mean, like, how serious do we need
to take
this?
Well, also, how R-rated can you get with Superman? Because, yeah. A, you can't hurt him. And the only way you can get an R-rated, even with just a Superman movie, is him hurting other people.
Yeah.
Which, normally, he doesn't do.
So there's going to have to be a lot of titty scenes with him and Lois
Lane.
Well,
there's also speculation is maybe this version of Batman, maybe he violates the one rule Batman's always had, and he does kill, possibly.
Batman killed in the first, or in actually both of the Tim Burton movies.
Yeah, but you never come out. They never really come out and show him doing it in a certain sense.
He throws a guy in a dumpster with a bomb and then shuts the dumpster lid on him. I don't think that guy survived.
True.
Like, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
I don't know if it was just someone's due diligence digging that happened to find this news with Batman vs Superman, or Warner Brothers quietly just kind of let it be out there.
We've talked about this before. Superman has never been, you know, it depends on who's writing. Superman, they've never been quite as strict on the one rule. Some writers are like, dude, if it's an alien that's threatening Earth, yeah, Superman's going to kill him, just like he did on the movie. And then, like, some writers are like, no, he can never kill. And, like, I've always felt like Superman, you can go kind of loose with that. Batman, that's part of his character. It's part of his flaw, actually.
Right.
You know, yeah, like, because it's not like he's, like, barely, like, he's breaking the law anyway by being a vigilante.
Well, I think that's what kind of appeals to a lot of people who like Batman in that sense.
Well, I mean, that's his flaw. Like, if you think about it, like, if he would have just killed the Joker, like, how many people would he have saved? Because it's his fault.
Well, it's all these...
like, Joker keep getting released
Penguin,
yeah, they keep
Bane,
getting released because of Batman.
Or escaping from Arkham.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with Arkham if all these guys keep escaping all the time?
Well, they can't. I think Superman Returns kind of proves it. This works with Batman. It's like due process. They keep getting arrested by some guy and no one knows who he is. Like, they can't keep him in jail. Like... I mean, I'm sorry. Like, maybe if you just either go all the way and kill them or just stop, maybe something will happen. Speaking of which, I'm just going to go into this shortly. This kind of reminds me of season 2 of Daredevil, which is coming up with the Punisher. Have you seen the trailer for that?
I think so.
Did you watch season 1?
Yes, I love season 1.
It's amazing. We need to do a Daredevil special.
My wife and I are not quite halfway through Jessica Jones.
I haven't started that one yet.
That one's a little different. It's a little slower. Jessica Jones is not bad. It's different from Punisher. I mean, if you're expecting a lot of action, you're not going to get it with this. Yeah. The only reason why I'm pretty much watching Jessica Jones is because I want to see, so when they do get up to quote their Defenders thing on Netflix, I'm at least familiar with what's all gone on.
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking more forward to Luke Cage, what they're going to do with it, than I am Jessica Jones. But I want to watch Jessica Jones because Luke Cage is also in this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel like I'm missing out on something or don't understand why this is going on.
I haven't started watching it yet, but I will. I should probably watch it before Daredevil 2. I might just wait. Like, who cares?
I think if you watch Jessica Jones even after Daredevil season 2, I think you'd be fine. Yeah. I think you'd be really fine. I think as long as you watch Jessica Jones before you watch Luke Cage,
okay.
I think that would be the better.
I really want to watch...
I really hope they don't...
Agent Carter is supposed to be really good. I've never watched it.
Yeah, and now there's doubt about whether or not there'll be a season 3 of Agent Carter because Haley Atwell, who plays Agent Carter, recently signed to do another show with ABC.
Oh, really?
So it's like, okay, so is she going to try and do 2 shows or is Agent Carter just now just done?
Maybe they should just turn Agent Carter season 3 into a Netflix show.
See, that goes with a whole other thing we could do with podcasts.
She could shoot that in a month.
Because there's, this is getting way off kind of our topic, but Fox is moving forward with a Lethal Weapon series.
Really?
For network. And to me, to make that, if you want to put Lethal Weapon on as a TV series, okay, fine. I'm not necessarily thrilled with it, because I think you should leave the property alone.
Me too.
In my opinion. It's too soon to do anything with Lethal Weapon, in my book. And that, and there's such a chemistry and such a work between Danny Glover and Mel Gibson that it would be hard to recreate. My problem is with Fox doing a Lethal Weapon series, they've hired Damon Wayans Sr. to play Roger Murtaugh.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Keep the Wayans out of everything. Okay.
Now,
they haven't done anything good since In Living Color.
Now, before I get too judgmental, I don't know what the tone of the show is going with. they could be flipping it to where they're making Murtaugh more the kind of the comedic part of it and making Riggs more the serious character, which is fine if they want to make a flip because it's a TV series.
Which Wayans did you say?
Damon Wayans, the bald guy who was in.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's one of the. It's not the oldest.
He can be a good. It's not the oldest. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. He can be a good actor. Could do it serious.
I'm waiting to make final judgment because they have not cast anyone for Riggs yet. If they hire more of a comedic actor like they did Wayans for Riggs' role,
it's done.
Then to me, they're going more for the comedic role of it. Now, if they hire kind of a serious actor, someone who can really pull off Riggs' character correctly, then, okay, they might be just flip-flopping a little bit of the comedy with the characters. If the show's done right and it's done like I think it should be as far as tone and seriousness with the humor thrown in where needed, then it might be all right. But to me, Lethal Weapon in a television series to be done right needs to be like on Netflix, Showtime, HBO, somewhere where you don't have to worry about how you do the violence.
By the way, I do want to point out, In Living Color was a really, really, really funny show.
And to me, I looked at the Lethal Weapon movies as Lethal Weapon, all the movies had, now as they had the serious tone, and granted, as they went along with the movies, the humor kind of creeped in more and more, but the humor was never the main point of the whole movies.
What's the deal with all these movies being turned into TV shows now? Fargo, 12 Monkeys.
Now, my wife's been watching the 12 Monkeys series, and she really likes it.
I'm sure they're all really good. I don't really get it. What's going on?
Well, also, is it CBS? Yeah, CBS is wanting to bring back MacGyver. I don't understand.
That show sucked when I was on.
They're also, Fox is also working on trying to bring back the A-Team to television.
Yeah.
Now, of all the all these movies / television series the networks are trying to bring back, of the ones that might benefit from a, quote, a reimagination and a reboot.
Probably A-Team.
No, it would be MacGyver.
MacGyver, really?
Because he was kind of a Bondish type thing, you know, taking things. And so his character might be all right with an update, in my opinion. I never was a big fan of the original show, but that character might be all right for an update. Lethal Weapon, no. A-Team, I don't see what you can do with A-Team on television that you already haven't done on the original show or in the movie that they did.
I kind of think network television is kind of doomed. None of these network shows. Like, I tried watching Gotham. Gotham is terrible. That is a terrible show.
Sorry. My wife loves that show. I've never really watched it, but she loves that show. I think it depends on how you want to look at it.
Yeah.
I think the issue with Gotham for some people is it's a Batman show without Batman.
But then there's all these, ooh, here's young Harvey Dent. And it's like, oh, my gosh.
Well, and now the mid-season premiere is coming back up to finish out the second season, and they're introducing Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
To me, Batman is one of those things that would work great.
Did you watch the new X-Files?
No, I did not.
Oh, my gosh, they're good. So good. I haven't seen the last episode yet. I'm going to catch it tonight or tomorrow. They are good. Really good.
I just think Batman would be one that would work great on Netflix.
Yeah.
In the style of Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many different storylines from the comics you could pull into Batman that could work so well.
I think eventually they're all going to go into Netflix. Not necessarily Netflix, but streaming shows.
Yeah. I think
eventually this big movie thing is like I think they're gonna get too big for movies and it's gonna turn into that. It might be 10 years down the road,
I think somewhere in the next 5 to 10 years the networks are gonna take the cue from what the cable networks do and with what Netflix and Hulu are doing. You're gonna get more shows throughout the year, but you're gonna get more series of like in the fall. You're gonna get a show that's gonna run 10-12 episodes, and then you're not gonna see it again until the following fall. And then in the spring, you're gonna get different other series. They're gonna run 10-12 shorter run seasons, more compact, better storytelling without dragging out for 22 episodes. Because if you really look at how the television networks run their shows now, you get all their fall premieres in September. Mm-hmm. They all end their shows in May, and they only do 20 to 22 episodes.
No.
If you were running concurrently back-to-back, all these shows we'd done in January.
No.
So you get a lot of in-between time or a lot of big hiatus time in between to make these things end in May. And I just think eventually the networks are going to have to change their style, or otherwise a lot of these shows are going to be going to Netflix, because they're going to be able to figure out, hey, we can do what you want, not have to worry about any restraints, and have a better show on Netflix or Hulu or whatever the case may be.
Daredevil, some other streaming shows have proved this too, but Daredevil really did for me, is that even movies are going to, theatrical movies are going to become dated. Like,
that depends on the type of movie it is.
I think in 5 to 10 years, you're gonna, like, once this superhero thing topples itself, you'll see them streaming on. The thing about the streaming shows is they've got the quality of a movie, almost.
Well, if you look at Daredevil, what they do, 13 episodes?
Yeah.
It's like one big, long, kind of continuous movie,
mm-hmm.
and you can really and get in depth into the story.
Yes, yes.
You put Daredevil, let's say, on a network, that show is not the same.
No.
Because you got to get rid of all the bloodiness, all the violence. Everything that made that show so good on Netflix would not even be close to being good on network.
Well, and, you know, and then you look at it as a movie, it's now 4 times longer than a movie.
Uh-huh.
It's got good breaks. It's like reading a book.
Right.
And I think, you know, it's much more developed. I think that eventually these are going to make even movies dated.
Mm-hmm.
I think there will still be movies.
Well, you're going to get certain movies that are always going to be best in the theater. I think
Transformers-type movies will do.
Star Wars, Star Trek.
Yeah,
there's certain franchise Bond. To me, there are certain movies, when they come out, you have to make the effort to go to the theater.
I could see, even, you know, now that Disney owns Star Wars, I could see them making a Star Wars. I guess they sort of did this already, but a Star Wars series on Netflix that's not animated. There we go.
There was talk at one time of doing a live action show, but Disney's come out here recently saying right now there will be no live action show. Right now their focus is all the movies, since they've got a movie basically coming out one a year right now for through to basically 2020.
Star Wars is a tradition anyway.
Right.
Like,
and right now there is a Star Wars show on TV, but it's animated. And Star Wars Rebels is really pretty good. It really
is. That the newest one?
No, that runs on Disney XD.
Okay.
It's really pretty good. The first season, you know, it takes a little bit to get, but it's good. They've maintained it in season 2. I like it.
I know Clone Wars
got
better. Supposed to be pretty good.
Clone Wars got better as time went on.
Is that still on Netflix?
Yes.
Okay, I might watch that.
Clone Wars got better on time. The first season, you know, seemed like it was aiming at kids, but as they found their footing and they went on, it got better in season 2. It got better in season 3. You know, a lot of storylines kind of continued on, 3 and 4 parts here and there. But, you know, it was. I enjoyed the show. Yeah, and there's going to be plenty to talk about over the course of the, 8 to 9 months with all these superhero movies coming out. Still waiting on that first trailer to drop with Rogue One, the next Star Wars movie, which I'm pretty sure is going to drop with Civil War, would be my guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Marvel/Disney movie. I don't see Disney putting it in front of Batman versus Superman.
No.
I mean, it's possible, but I don't see them doing it. I see Disney saving that for their own movie. Any final thoughts?
Deadpool is great. Looking forward to the next three or four freaking movies that are coming out. So.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of movies to come out and talk about.
Civil War is the one that I'm really looking forward to. So good.
I guess now there's supposed to be a cameo by Pepper Potts now, too, in there, supposedly.
Really?
Empire Magazine has, in their latest issue, has a big write-up on Civil War. And I guess Pepper Potts, I guess there's a brief cameo of her
That's
in there.
Good. No, I was wondering, because I was honestly wondering if 3 was going to be the last one she'd be in.
I'm surprised she didn't make a small appearance in the Age of Ultron, to be honest. I really figured if you were going to see her again, you'd see her there. But he only made reference
to so many characters in it, though.
Well, Civil War, you're going to have more characters. So, I mean, it's only getting bigger and bigger. As always, been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
I think we're going to do a little bit more of Deadpool on True Believers.
We are. We're going to look at a comic book where we're going to discuss the creation of the character.
Cool. So if you want to check out that podcast as well, you can find True Believers on YouTube, or if you want to go to RageToTake.com, there's a link to the True Believers Facebook page and YouTube on there as well. And of course, don't forget to check out my podcast on RageToTake.com, SoundCloud, YouTube, and on my Facebook page. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk at you next time.